This Thanksgiving of 2018, we have many things to be thankful for, but we also know that we are still a congregation that's in mourning yet with the losses that we've encountered and endured this past 4 or 5 months. And this morning I chose Psalm 100 because it points to our Lord. And as we read this morning, you'll see where we head with this message as well. As you hear this, what we turn to. And as we sung that song, it points to the Lord as well. And that's where our thankfulness comes from within. We are thankful for what the Lord has done for us. And so if you want to turn in your pew Bible this morning to Psalm 100, I'm going to encourage you to do that. It's a short psalm. But only 5 verses, but we'll go through that in our message today. I'll reference it from time to time, and you might want to just keep it open this morning and look at how this is laid out. Notice it's a psalm, and it says, "For giving thanks," is what it's entitled. And so let's read this. "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we've gathered here this morning, we pray for Your Word to be enlightened through Your Spirit. And Lord, may You fill me with that same Spirit as I bring this message to those that need to hear Your Word today. Lord, we're all in different places, but Lord, we turn to You as the one Lord of our lives. Lord, so I pray for those that have gathered here today, open their hearts and their minds and their souls to receive Your Word. May they understand Your message and may they just apply it to their lives. In Jesus I pray, amen. This is probably one of the most beautiful psalms that you'll find in Scripture about being thankful and what thanksgiving should look like in our lives. And so as I bring that up to you this morning, I believe that we are a people and a nation that has truly been blessed by God. Now we might live in a chaotic country today and things are not like they were 10, 20 or maybe even 50 years ago, but we are still very blessed. And so we gather and we want to praise God for those blessings that we have. Let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you put together a Christmas list or maybe a New Year's resolution list in your life? How many of you have done that in the past? As a child, as an adult, or, you know, at our house, we have lists that hang on the fridge for Christmas of what do you want? And so sometimes the dreams are quite big, of course. And so we can't meet all those things, but we at least we wish and we hope, don't we, for those blessings and those things to come into our lives. But what about a Thanksgiving list? How many of you have put together a Thanksgiving list in your own life of the things that you are thankful for in your life? And then, how about this? Have you praised God, or maybe you've prayed to God for those thankfulness, those blessings that you've had in your life? Ask yourself that question this morning. And some of you, maybe a lot of you, have done this. But I just want to call that to your attention this morning. How many of you put together a list of thankful things that you've had in your life? And so let me just share a few things that you might put on your list this morning. And so some of them are kind of fun and kind of humorous, but some are serious. How many of you are thankful for a dishwasher? I am. My boys are grateful for a dishwasher. My wife is. Right? That's a good thing, isn't it? How about for children who put away their clothes and put things away in their lives, and the joy that they bring into your household? Those are good things to be thankful for. What about teenagers? You get the opportunity to learn an entirely new language when you have teenagers in your house, right? Try to understand who they are and the way they live and the things that they do in their life. but yet we're extremely thankful for them. Today, most of you will go home, or maybe this afternoon or this evening or towards this weekend, and you're going to eat well. Your clothes might be a little bit snug come Monday morning because we ate a little more than what we should have, right? But how many of you are thankful for tight-fitting clothes because you've been fed well? You've been blessed. Some heads are going like this. No, I'm not. By the way, I heard on the radio this past week through the holiday season that on average people gain between 6 and 8 pounds through the holiday season. Yeah, hopefully that's not me either, but once in a while I get there. Yeah. How about a lawn that needs to be mowed? Our windows that need to be washed? Our gutters that need to be cleaned? Because it means that you have a home. That's something to be thankful for, isn't it? Are the piles of laundry that are in your laundry room right now, mothers? Because it means that you have loved ones nearby. And maybe the piles of dirty dishes that will accumulate at some point throughout today or throughout this weekend, because you have a large family that is gathered around you to celebrate this holiday. Those are things to be thankful for, aren't they? Now, our lists might not be the same, and it could go on and on if we really stop and think about it. But I'm convinced that if we begin to make a list, we would find that we have much more to be thankful for which we don't always understand. You know, it's easy to put down the material blessings that come into our lives because we can see them, we understand them, and they're there on a daily basis for us. But here's maybe a few more that you might want to add to your list as you think about this morning. It might include some major things like how many of you are thankful that you have this life, that you're healthy, that you have family, friends, the nation we live in, despite all its flaws. But what about this? I am thankful for my salvation in Jesus Christ, for eternal life that's been given to all of us that believe in Jesus. Are we thankful for that as well? That's what Psalm 100 starts to point at as we read that this morning. It all comes back to God, doesn't it? And are we thankful for the salvation and the eternal life that has been given to us as well? Because of Jesus, we have so much for which to celebrate on this Thanksgiving Day. All because of Jesus. But have you ever thought back to what the first Americans, those who came across the ocean and landed in Plymouth Rock and other places and stuff like that, what they endured? So I'm going to give you a little history lesson this morning about what that maybe it was like for them. They were underprivileged when they arrived on the shoreline, for sure. There was a small handful that came on the Mayflower, and they started some new customs, and they set aside a day for Thanksgiving to Almighty God for the blessings. But what they had endured was not easy. Death, hunger, sickness, illness. You think about it, they had no permanent homes. They had no means of transportation but their own two legs. The only food that they had either came from the sea or from the forest, and they had to get it themselves. They had no money. They had no place to spend their money on. They had no entertainment except the entertainment that they would create or provide for themselves. But anyone who dared to call them underprivileged would probably have been thrown in the lake. They did have four of the greatest human assets: initiative, courage, willingness to work, and here's the greatest, a boundless faith in God. That's huge. That's where I want to go with our message this morning. A boundless faith in God. That's what our forefathers had. Most of you know this president that's on the screen here, our very first one. Back to your history lesson just a little bit this morning. In our Declaration of Independence, it proclaims this. Now, I want you to listen to, as I read just little snippets of this, how important that God was in our country. It's different today. I want you to get that. You know that. But look at what they were like, the way they lived, who they trusted in, and they wrote about it, and they put it in there. It's in the Declaration of Independence. And here's what it says. We hold up these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator certain unalienable rights. And it goes on and it ends with these words, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. Divine providence. It speaks and it points to a God who carried them through and blessed this nation from day one. You know, Thanksgiving Day is a distinctive holiday, if you think about it. It doesn't commemorate a battle. It doesn't commemorate anyone's birthday or an anniversary or anything like that. It simply is a day set aside to express, as a nation, our thanks to God. Our nation's God is what our forefathers said and wrote about. And he made it public in 1789. So I want you to see this, the strong and absolute acknowledgement of the fact of God and of our nation's dependence upon him. Now, most of you would agree that it's different today. But we don't have to be different. As a people of God, we can still gather in God's name, and we can still rely upon God in our nation as a people of God. And I encourage us to do that. George Washington went on to say in his proclamation, whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and to humbly implore his protection and favor upon our country and the people that live within it. And then it went on to say this, whereas both houses of Congress, did you hear that? They got along and they agreed. How different that is today. Have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed and to be acknowledged with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God. So read the first presidential Thanksgiving proclamation, all pointed to God. Today, we gather once again to celebrate Thanksgiving. And one would assume that because of our example of our forefathers, and because today we have so much to be thankful for, that would be the norm. But in our country today, I think it's exactly opposite of that. And let me just point out a few things of why I might think that today. The more we get, the less thankful we become. The less mindful of God we are. And the more we want. Holds true for a lot of our people today, doesn't it? Let me share a little story with you about a place in Mexico. There's hot springs and cold springs that are right next to each other, side by side. It's kind of a freak of nature, but it's a godly thing that's placed there. And so the women love to go do their laundry there because they can start out with the hot water. And in fact, it's hot enough that it's almost to the boiling point. And it does well to clean their laundry there. And so this is kind of a tourist area, and there was a tour going on, and there was a lot of different people there touring that hot springs and the cold springs, and people were there doing laundry, and the natives were, the Mexicans were there, and they're washing their clothes. And so one of the tourists said to the guide, boy, they must be just thankful to God because they have this hot spring and this cold spring right next to each other. And the tour guide says, no, not really. Tourist was baffled for a little bit, and he said, why not? Because God didn't provide the soap. Do you see how we get as a people? Isn't that something? I think Psalm 100 was written to deal with that kind of an attitude that we might even take on ourselves, or maybe the attitude that our country has. It reminds us of the need to be thankful and to maintain an attitude of gratitude in our lives towards Jesus and towards God. So the 100th Psalm, if you were to look back in it, was written for the people of Israel. So God said to them, when you come into the promised land, settle down in your homes and you get things established, you have plenty to eat and you're blessed, don't forget about me. That's what he says. I led you out of the wilderness. I brought you into the land flowing with milk and honey. But then it doesn't take very long, does it? The people of Israel forgot about God. And they needed a reminder. And often I think we need a reminder too within our lives of how God blesses us and he cares for us and the providential care that we don't always understand or get fully. So I do believe that in Psalm 100, God had us in mind as well. Do you notice whom it's addressed to? Do you have your Bible open yet? All right, so here's what I want you to look around just a little bit. So the first verse, it says, to all the earth. That's everyone, right? So the Lord addresses everyone that's upon the earth. And then it goes on in the last verse, to all generations. That includes all people for all time. That's you and I that still sit here today. That'll be for your grandkids, grandkids, and however long the earth continues to go on until Jesus comes back. And so the message of Thanksgiving, it's deep, it's wide in our lives. And what it applies to every person in every era and stage of life. Every generation is what this psalm applies to. And so I think that there's a real danger of determining our thanksgiving on the basis of how much we have. Remember that list I told you to create and put together? And you could really make probably a long list of things you're thankful for in your life. And a lot of times we base our thankfulness on that list of things that we've been blessed with in our lives. Do I have enough turkey to gorge myself this afternoon? Is there enough money in the bank that I'm secure? Am I healthy? See, we let these things determine our thankfulness or not. That's usually how we measure our thankfulness. Now, those are great blessings, and we need to be thankful to God for those things in our life. So I don't want to take away from that, but what the psalmist is trying to get at is there's something much deeper that you need to be thankful for in your life. Because all of these things that I talked about can change in a heartbeat. Ask some of the families that sit here this morning. Life can change in a heartbeat. And that's what the Lord wants us to understand. No matter how rough things get, no matter what you go through in your life, you always have God. We need to be thankful for God in your life. Because all those things that we might put on our list of children, of family, of a job, your home, da-da-da-da, all those things can drift away, can't they? They can be gone in a moment's notice. But the Lord will always be there. And so the only thing that we have for sure is our relationship with the Lord. And I think that's good for us to understand. That's what Psalm 100 emphasizes to us. So get your Bible out again. I want to point out some key things in this psalm as you look through it. Scan the psalm with me. Verse 1. You will find the word Lord. Verse 2, you will find the word Lord. Verse 3, you will find the word Lord. Verse 4, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Verse 5, you will find the word Lord. Where does the emphasis come in that psalm? You see, what the Lord is trying to tell us is, This is what you need to be thankful for. That I'm your creator. I'm the one that blessed you. I'm your sustainer. I've given you life. Eternal life, by the way, for those who believe in my Son. That's what we have to remember. Now, let me share a little story with you. How many of you remember there was a series, I was a young boy, the series Roots. Remember that? It dealt with slavery and those types of things. It was maybe in the 70s, if I guess, the series on Roots. You remember that growing up? And so Alex Haley was the author of that series. He wrote that show and did all that, and it presented that on television. Maybe most of you, maybe if you're a little bit older, you've seen that. And I remember that growing up as a boy. It was quite fascinating learning about the things that went on. He was a great writer. He wrote several books. In his office hung a poster, a picture, with a post, and on top of this post was a turtle that sat on top of it. So somebody was in there one day, and he asked Alex, "Why do you have this picture in here of this turtle sitting on this post?" And so Alex, being a Christian, he said this to the guy that came in and asked the question. "You see, whenever I write and I do things, I get self-pride. I think it's all my work, and it's my ability to write and do things in the way that I've been blessed. And so I need to stop, and I need to look at that picture once in a while. And that turtle on that post reminds me that it never got there by itself. Somebody had to put it on the pole." And so he reminds himself, when he would do great things and he'd be blessed, that he would look at that poster and he would see that he didn't get there by himself. It was God who blessed him. It was God who he is thankful for in his life that allowed these things to go on, that given him the gifts to write and to do things in his life. How many of us would benefit from something like that in our own lives? Because we are truly turtles on top of the pole. God has put us there and cares for us and watches over us in our life. Alex understood that. And so I hope that we understand that as a people of God as well. And so let me just finish up by this morning. There are five commandments. You'll see five different verses. You can open your Bible if you want to, but I'm going to roll through these pretty quick here this morning. But notice the first commandment, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. The second commandment, serve the Lord with gladness. The third commandment, come before him with joyful song. All deals with your happiness of being in the presence of God. Do you see that? Joy, gladness, sing joyful songs, it says in there. That's how the Lord wants us to approach him. That's how he wants us to come into his presence. That's the point that we need to learn this morning. But notice then commandment number four comes along. And it says this, know that the Lord is God. It's like a reminder. Don't forget where these things come from in your life. He's the one who made us. We are his people, it says in there. The sheep of his pasture. Thankfulness to God. And then comes commandment number five, where we really want to rest on today. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, it says. Now, in the Old Testament, the Israelites, where would they have gathered to enter God's gates? Go back with me. They didn't have churches. Before synagogues, they would gather where? Yeah, in the tabernacle, the temple of God. And whose presence was in the temple? God's presence was there. The Israelites, the Jews, they would gather and they'd travel to the temple, and they knew that that's where they would meet God, and they could offer up their prayers, and they'd give their thanksgiving, and they'd bring their offerings and their sacrifices, and so on and so on. Because they knew that's where they'd meet the presence of God. Where do you come today to meet the presence of God? Now, I know He's everywhere today through His Spirit. He's working through you and out in the world. But where's the most common place that you gather to be in the presence of God? Church. Exactly. Exactly. And so we gather to pay our respects to God, to worship, and to be thankful for everything that we've been given. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for our community and our church and what God is doing. And so may you remember what the source is of thanksgiving. As you gather as family, as friends, whatever it might be, that remember the source of thanksgiving. And what, no matter what you've been through this past half a year, remember that we always turn to our Almighty God. Just like Psalm 100 says, be thankful for your salvation. Be thankful for Jesus Christ, that you are forgiven. So I'm going to encourage you today, as you gather as a family and as you do prayer or whatever it might be, read Psalm 100 today and take note to what it says about being thankful and being joyful in the presence of God. And here's one I want you to end with. I'm going to end on this verse today. Psalm 103, verse 10. O Lord, help us to be thankful that you do not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. That's a great verse, isn't it? We know what we deserve, but we're given grace and love through Jesus Christ. We get to celebrate that. That should bring you joy in the world that we live in today. And so I hope that you'll heed to these commands that you've learned in Psalm 100 today, and that your heart will overflow with thanksgiving to the Lord. And all of God's people said,